some very interesting news over the weekend. Fox News Sunday had Jesse Jackson and Ben Carson on talking about Ferguson, Missouri. This, of course, the case where Andrew Wilson, police officer, unblemished record, 6 years as an officer, was trying to get Michael Brown, 18 years of age, almost 300 pounds, he and his friend to move off, quit blocking traffic, quit walking down the middle of the street. And Mr. Brown, who had earlier been seen on videotape in a strong-arm robbery of a convenience store not far away, pushed the police officer into his car and started wailing on him. This, according to several witnesses. A shot goes off in the car. The officer emerges from the car with his weapon drawn, ordering Michael Brown to freeze. Michael Brown taunts the officer, whose left side of his face is swelling. Mixed reports whether or not his eye socket was actually broken or not. Several sources say yes, some say no. And again, according to a number of witnesses, lowered his head and charged the officer that he had just beaten after ignoring his order to freeze. The officer shoots, the man goes down, and Jesse Jackson called it a state execution. Seattle Times has an op-ed piece by a local health worker from St. Louis named Ace Robinson, calling it a murder. Chris Wallace says, you know, this incident aside, aren't we kind of missing the point here about the real issue plaguing young African Americans in the United States?
Reverend Jackson, I want you to pick up and to address what Dr. Carson said, and I also want to put up some numbers, because while the people in the protesters in Ferguson have been focusing on the police, the numbers tell a different story, which Juan Williams referred to earlier. Homicide is the number one cause of death among black males between ages 15 and 34, and 91% of black murder victims are not killed by the police, but killed by other blacks. So, in a sense, are the protesters focusing on the wrong problem?
Again, I want to clarify what you just heard Chris Wallace say. 91% of African Americans who are killed in this country are killed by other African Americans. So when you hear about there's a war on young African-American men in this country, if there is, it's being waged for the most part by other African-Americans. Here was Jesse Jackson's response. You have to listen carefully.
First of all, I wish Dr. Carson and I were a part of that white penalty you just had, because it does.
By the way, he just said, I wish Dr. Carson and I had been part of that white panel you just had. That panel included Juan Williams, who is not white. But anyway, let's continue with Reverend Jackson.
Let's have a race dimension. We should all, across now, we come out of a body of experience different than your previous guest.
Well, first of all, I don't know that it was different from Juan Williams' upbringing. Something about Reverend Jackson, oftentimes very difficult to understand where his sin was coming from here. It's speaking about the execution of young Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. You really have a tough time understanding what Jesse, when you say, what are you saying? It's not, what do you mean? It's, really, what are you saying? I mean, Jesse Jackson is just harder and harder to understand. He sounds closer and closer to, you know, rural South Carolina, where he grew up. Anyway, Ben Carson, former head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, a guy who was brought up by a single mom in Detroit, Michigan. Think about that. Single mom in Detroit. His mom, by the way, could not read. Ends up as the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. he weighed in on the controversy as well.
You know, I've seen police excesses living in inner city Detroit, inner city Boston. But I've seen a lot of situations where the police saved the situation. And I'm not sure that this is a police versus black community issue. You know, as a youngster, you know, I had anger problems also. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I tried to stab another youngster with a knife. A belt buckle saved him. You know, anger issues get in the way. And if you take race out of the issue altogether, and you take a group of young men, and you raise them with no respect for authority, not learning to take on personal responsibility, having easy access to drugs and alcohol, they're very likely to end up as victims of violence or incarceration. It has nothing to do with race.
If we could isolate the last 15 seconds of what Ben Carson said, Kevin, I would like to replay that last 15 seconds of what Ben Carson said a little bit later on the show. Well, what Ben Carson is saying is we're making things about race that aren't really ultimately about race. They are about culture. He said when you have a large number of kids brought up in households, usually without a father, where they are not taught, authority figures are missing, they're not taught respect for the law, where there's easy access to drugs and alcohol, where there's a permissive atmosphere, where misbehavior is often rationalized, where violence is prevalent, you're going to have situations like this erupt. And it doesn't, the last thing that matters is the skin color. What matters is the culture they're growing up in. I mean, you look at, of course, the left being materialistic always gets back to, well, it's all poverty. I think the left has it upside down. It's not poverty that causes a rotted culture. It's a rotted culture that creates poverty. You've heard me tell you on this program before that there are three things that you can do that almost guarantee you will not live in poverty in this country. Number one, graduate from high school. Number two, wait until you get married to have children. Number three, don't get married until you are at least 20. So if you graduate from high school, you hold off getting married till you're 20, and you hold off having children until you are married, you won't live in poverty. But if you do drop out of high school, if you do have children out of wedlock, if you do get married early, or if you don't get married and you just start your family early, you are almost guaranteed to live in poverty. It seems to me that this is often the case, that people are trying to make stories that are tragic into racial stories when they're really not racial. And in this respect, I'm afraid that Eric Holder, the attorney general, who goes down there and thinks that he is a balm, he's a healing presence, that he's reassuring people that we can't get a fair shake down here. Oh, you can get a fair shake because I'm going to make sure you get a fair shake. What he ended up doing was creating a culture of racial entitlement. You know, there was a movement afoot. There still is a movement afoot to prevent the elected prosecutor, happens to be a white man, in St. Louis County. He's been elected, I think, four times, elected and reelected, over and over and over again. They're trying to get him to step away from the case, from determining whether or not this was a justifiable homicide. Of course, they've already reached conclusions that a murder took place, or as Jesse Jackson called it, a state execution. But the bottom line is they said no. It turned out his father was killed 50 years ago by a black man. We don't want him making any decisions here. They're trying to pull him off. They say we here in the black community don't want this elected prosecutor making this decision. It's absolutely crazy what's going on.